everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we've got a special podcast for you today because we are going to be talking with one of these Survivor winners that we have never had before on. Rob has a podcast in the storied nine-year history of RHAP, and that's because we're going to be chatting with Mr. Earl Cole, winner of Survivor Fiji, here on the podcast with some special coverage. We're going to catch up with Earl and hear about what he has going on with his foundation that he started, the Perthes Kids Foundation. And then I've got a bunch of questions from the patrons of Rob as a podcast. So we will catch up with Earl, hear how he's doing, and give him some questions that I do not believe that Earl has been following this current season of Survivor. So we're not going to be spending time catching up on the Edge of Extinction, but we do have plenty of coverage between the Know-It-Alls and T-Bird and Eric Stein on the latest episode of Edge of Extinction. Before we get to Earl, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Quip. And Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. I love my Quip toothbrush that they sent me when we started doing the ad campaign. The Quip, I had heard about it on different podcasts. I was eager to try it, and the Quip does not disappoint. The Quip feels cool in your hands. It feels like it's like a toothbrush out of the future. It has sensitive sonic vibrations, which are gentle on your sensitive gums. And if you're somebody like me who is itching to just get done with brushing your teeth, it's got a built-in 2-minute timer, which pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch over to the next quadrant. It's got a cool multi-use cover, which I have stuck to my mirror where the toothbrush is up off the counter, so you have more space. And best of all, the brush heads get automatically delivered to you on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, because 3 out of 4 of us use bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective. That's why Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. That's why I love the Quip. That's why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. So if you go to getquip.com/Rob, you'll get your first refill pack for free with your Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack at getquip. That's getquip.com/Rob. All right, I'm very excited to bring this guest here onto the podcast. I'm very excited to talk with him because we've chased him for many years. And here he is to catch up and talk a little bit about what he has going on right now. Here is the winner of Survivor Fiji, the great Earl Cole. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay. I'm very happy to have you on here with us. And it took some extra prying from our great T-Bird Cooper, who I don't know if she explained any of this to you, Earl, but I gave her like a bucket list of people that I wanted to have on the podcast, like my top 10 list of people that we haven't spoken to yet on the podcast. And you were on that list. And she said, Rob, I'll get on it. I'm going to work on it. And, you know, I don't know how many times she harassed you, but here you are, Earl. So big
yes,
shout out to T-Bird. Yes.
Oh, kind words. I'm sure you say that to all the buckets. So yes, glad to be on your bucket list.
Yes.
And you know, my pleasure. You know, my life has been so busy past few years, and I could say, oh man, me and Rob has gotta get the chance to talk. And so finally we are able to talk, and you know, I don't do a lot of interviews these days, and I'm just, you know, super busy, you know, with the foundation and other work related things. But glad we got a moment. So let's talk.
Okay. Of course, this past week, also, you celebrated a birthday, correct? Happy birthday, right?
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes, my birthday was April 9th on Tuesday. So wonderful day with the family celebrating.
Yes.
And I have a birthday fundraiser right now on Facebook. So if anybody wants to donate, please do.
Okay. And before we get to that, also, just in terms of like updates for the fans, and you are also a dad now. Congratulations.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. So I have one on the way. I have a 17-month-old right now.
Okay, so, you're in the thick of it.
Yes. Oh, man. Boy, am I. I am definitely in the thick of it. Everything that a dad can be, it's not what you expect. You know, once you finally, you can read all the books in the world, but it doesn't prepare you for certain things, but it's been amazing. So I'm definitely happy and truly blessed.
Okay. Can you tell us about your foundation?
Sure. I run a foundation called the Perth East Kids Foundation. I started it back in 2007, right after I won Survivor. It was always one of the things I knew I was going to do with the money. And I had a partnership with the University of Kansas Medical Center. And so it's just the fun research for this rare disease called Leg Calve Perthes disease. It's called Perthes disease for short. I know it's a mouthful, but it's actually a childhood disease that involves the hip bone. And it's a form of osteonecrosis. I'm going to get a little technical for a second. So, but it's a very painful disease where children aren't allowed to run, jump, and play like normal kids. So you can imagine your childhood being robbed because of this disease where, you know, you don't get to play outside with all your friends. You don't get to play sports. You don't get to do anything. So I was one of those kids and went through that. So it's one of those things I kind of carried on mentally in my life. Even when I was on Survivor, I was experiencing some pain, but no one knew. I kept it a secret to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it all worked out. So yeah, so I have this foundation. We run summer camps all over the world. We're here in the U.S., we're in Australia, England, doing one in Spain, and maybe a couple other countries in the next couple of years. But it's the largest in the world of its kind. Started off with just a few of us. And now we're pretty big. We're global now.
Okay.
So that's what I do on the side. Yes.
All right. So if people want to either get involved or make a contribution to this fundraiser you're doing, how do people find out where to find out more about Perthes Kids?
Yes, you can go to PerthesKids.org, PerthesKids.org, and you can go to the donate button and donate, or you can just read about the different stories from the kids or the work we've done through the years. There's tons of information on the website. We have a big social media presence, so you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Perthes Foundation and read more. So this is just something that's been a part of my life, and it was my way to give back to these kids because it's such a rare disease. You know, I had never met anyone else within my entire life until I was an adult. So I wanted to create something to where kids don't have to go through the same thing I did of this isolation and feeling alone, where now all these kids could meet all kinds of other kids just like them just by attending our camp or one of the many Facebook groups that we have. They're just able to connect. Okay. Sorry to get a little long-winded, but
no,
it's a very complicated disease. Yeah.
Really great cause, and always nice to see, you know, somebody taking this, whatever they get out of this Survivor experience, and using it for something good in the world. So very nice to hear, Earl.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Rob.
Okay. So, Earl, now, I understand that you are not following this season of Survivor, but we're very happy to have you here on the line with us anyway today. I want to know that in these last couple of years, it's very interesting that Survivor has seemed to make a permanent home in your old stomping grounds of Fiji. And I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, you know, as one of the originators of the Fiji, I would like to take some credit for that we had such a wonderful season, and Jeff loved our season so much, that he couldn't wait to go back to Fiji, get a permanent home, and it's been amazing. And plus, you know, the landscapes, the people, you know, the scenery in Fiji is so wonderful, and I think it's because of the stability in the area and, you know, whatever the case, it just makes for a great backdrop to Survivor. And Survivor isn't all about just, you know, the location traveling everywhere. It's really just about the characters and the people and the chaos, like the tribal council that just happened last Wednesday.
So you did see that.
I hear things and I say, you know what happened? Like, let me catch up on this particular episode. And I was like, wow, I know that situation. You know, it's pretty, you know, the emotion and people saying different things and the whispers, those whispers actually became shouts. Which surprised me because, you know, you try to keep the cards kind of close to your chest, not reveal your strategy. But, oh, man, they were throwing stuff all over the place. Misdirections and people getting upset and jumping ship. It was beautiful to watch.
When you see something like that, do you feel like that the game is headed in a trajectory where that's going to be more of the norm than the exception?
I think it's going to be more of the norm because, you know, Survivor is on, what, season 38 now? It's been on for 20 years. I mean, you have people on the show now that they don't even know what it's like to not have Survivor on television. So they're basically growing up knowing about Survivor. And so I think it's a good way to shake things up. You know, I think we're past just, you know, being a good strategist and, you know, being a good player, being physical and mental, to where it's more like this characterization of people and more of the emotion and social game that's like top priority now is how you play your social game. And I think that's the trajectory we're going in. And it makes it fun, you know, otherwise it kind of gets boring for people doing the same thing over and over. But when you have a live tribal council like that and people are just breaking all the rules. I think it's all about breaking all the rules for Survivor now. So who knows what's going to be coming up next.
Now, have you recognized any of the beaches from Fiji or even Earl Island as you have watched anything in the last couple of years?
You know what? I haven't. I think the way the angles are and, you know, there's over 300 islands in Fiji. So I don't even know which one in particular they're on. I have not seen Earl Island. Funny enough, that island was actually up for sale. And someone said, hey, do you know Earl Island is available for sale for the low price of $8 million? I could have actually bought that island.
Yeah.
As a nice souvenir.
Yeah. Look, they could have given that away as the prize, or the winner gets Earl Island.
Yeah, but the way my bank account works, there was no way in the world I was going to be able to buy an $8 million island, you know, 15-hour flight away.
And there's a lot of snakes also, right?
Yeah, it's definitely plenty of snakes. And it's funny, you know, on my season, everybody just talks about that one snake that I saw and, you know, unfortunately killed. But there were like a dozen snakes that I was dealing with. They only showed that one, like literally I had to sleep on the ground and they were everywhere.
Yeah. They don't seem to mention any snakes in the modern Fiji.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I don't know for sure, but I think that was part of the reason why we didn't have a lot of water challenges for our season because of the sea snakes and because of bull sharks, which are pretty aggressive sharks, but it seems to be okay now.
Yeah.
I think because it was their first time there. You know, they were just kind of just being cautious, but hey, go for it. You know, if you run into a shark, so what? I think one of the, I forgot his name on this.
David
this season,
Wright. He talked about the minnows.
The minnows and the shark. Yeah. Yeah. And the minnows and the shark.
And so, whatever else. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So yeah, they're still there.
Yeah. Earl, have you had any flirtations with coming back to Survivor at any point in these last, what has it been about 12 years?
It's been 12 years for me. I've been invited back a few times. Usually there's schedule conflicts or it's something. They're always shooting during something I'm doing. Either I'm out of town and with my foundation, you know, I have a camp, a week-long camp. And so it would be during my camp week where I can't not do the camp and let all those kids down. So I'll have to back out. You know, and I would want to go back on to do it for the kids. And, you know, really, if I did it again, it would totally be for charity. It would be for my charity to raise money for that. You know, that would be the main thing so the kids can see that.
Yeah. Now, your original backstory, and correct me if I have this wrong, was that you were in the mix to be on The Amazing Race, right? And then you got pulled into Survivor without really knowing a lot about the show.
Yeah, that was a funny story. It was actually in Santa Monica where I currently live, and I was on a date with who is now my wife, but Lynn Spillman, you know, the fantastic casting director, you know, saw my wife and saw us together and asked us, you know, she thought we'd be a great couple for Amazing Race. And, but my wife didn't want to do it. My date didn't want to do it at the time. She's like, I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, a week later, she just called me randomly and said, you ever heard of Survivor? And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you can be an alternate. And I did all the testing in like one day, and then I was gone the following day, not knowing anything about the show. I'm thinking I'm going on vacation, like, oh yeah, a little island show.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what I was up for, but it was great. Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, what was that like for you to have to come out there to a game that you were kind of unfamiliar with and then learn everything on the fly and then also do a pretty good job with it too?
Well, I think I benefited from not knowing all of the rules and not knowing it made me less of a threat because I was more asking curious questions like, hey, how does this work? You know, what's this alliance thing? So I really wasn't threatening. And I had more of the style of kind of stepping back, observing everybody, listening, testing the waters, that type of thing. And then once I learned how the game worked, and like, it's really not about the rules. It's really about just the people and understanding the dynamics of them. That helped me go further and further in the game. Mm-hmm. So the strategy, like I said, my strategy was to make everybody think I didn't have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems people kind of use that today. You know, a lot of misdirection going on, purposely losing challenges.
Yeah.
People don't realize like you can do that. You know, you have to really sacrifice your ego, even though people talk bad about you. Like, nope, you guys have no idea why I'm doing this.
Did you purposely lose challenges in Fiji?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to be the worst, but mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a star.
Yeah.
Cause then you start getting too much attention on yourself. So you have to like try to come in second, third, fourth, sometimes
in the immunity where, challenges.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to do that. You have to really trust your game and the social aspect and not try to be the superstar. Like, and it was really difficult because, you know, the competitive spirit and, you know, you want to win, but you're going to win at what cost? You won that particular episode and then now you're a threat and all it takes is one person to throw your name out there and, mm-hmm. oh yeah, what about Earl? He won it. He dominated everybody. Let's get rid of him.
No. Yeah.
But if they forgot about you, they'd start thinking about other people. So, yeah, on our season, we had a guy, you know, Boo, who was winning some challenges and all that. And that's why he had a target on his back the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Earl, one of the challenges from Survivor Fiji that has become really iconic, where people talk about it all the time, is the Meke challenge. Are you aware how beloved the Meke challenge has become?
Actually, I am not. That's a beloved challenge.
Yes, people talk about it all the time. People want Survivor to bring it back, Earl. Can you still do the Meke?
You know what? If I watched it like on YouTube or something, I could probably bring it back. That would be interesting. Hey, producers out there, let's do a Meke challenge to one of these upcoming seasons, and I can come back and be a judge this time. You know, let me be the judge. No, I can still do it.
You come into the tribe. You teach it to the contestants to see if they can do it.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. That would be kind of like a Dancing with the Stars type of thing. It would be fun. But I'm glad people like the Meke challenge. You know, we were literally dancing for food. And so I wanted to get that right.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question from Aaron Flea Sperling. Earl, you spent time on Exile Island and you know firsthand what it's like to be isolated with the camera crew. What do you think of this season's twist, which is the Edge of Extinction? Do you respect Reem for sticking it out? And how would you have done if you were there for 36 days like Reem potentially might be? What was that like to be out there on Exile?
Let's see. Well, I was on Exile Island four different times, and it really is a relief when you're there, even though the downside is you're not part of the gameplay, but that's also the flip side is you're not part of the gameplay. For me, it gave me a chance where I can only feed myself, which is great. I don't have to share with anyone, you know, because I was one of the the hunter-gatherer people. So I was always getting a lot of the food from my tribe. So I said, okay, I can just sit here and just get a lot of sustenance, build up my energy, then come back in the game fully replenished. So that worked out for me. And also gives you a chance to like, clear your head where you're not a target every single moment. So you can kind of, it's kind of like a meditative thing. Mm-hmm. Like, gosh, I get a day or 2 days right here, just me. I get to enjoy the beauty of Fiji, because when you're in the game, you're really not enjoying where you are. It's just like, it's all game, all strategy. Everybody's out to get you. But when you're isolated by yourself, it's like, you can just truly think about everything. But that flip side is, oh my God, what are they doing without me? What's going on? Am I going to go back to chaos? Like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. So it's that part too.
Earl, Brian Kobick wants to know, who do you keep in touch with from your cast, if anybody?
From my cast? I'll say half the people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot. You know, of course, Facebook is very instrumental in everybody staying in touch so you can see how people are doing. You know, mm-hmm. I just saw Yao Man recently, last year. See Anthony from my season every now and then, like Liliana, Rocky. I think I saw Dreams a few years ago, Cassandra. Who else? Yeah, I see people like Alex, Mookie. You know, everybody just stays familiar. I mean, you go through this long war together, so I think it's natural that, you know, everybody kind of stays in touch.
Yeah.
But everybody lives in different states, so yes. That makes it more difficult. Yeah.
Yes. I got a message from Lisi recently, and she said she wants to do a podcast with me about cryptocurrency.
About cryptocurrency?
Yes.
A whole podcast. Wow. Okay.
I don't know.
Is that what she does?
I don't know. She tweets about it a lot.
Oh, interesting. Hey, I might like to be a part of that. I dabble around in cryptocurrency a little bit. You know, I study a little bit about blockchain, but that's kind of...
Yeah, I want to hear what Lisi knows about it.
Well, I think she was sort of in finance when she was on the show. I think that was her background. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably had to look that up. Hey, you're the Survivor trivia guy. What was her background?
Oh, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Okay. Wait, do you remember mine? Do you remember mine?
I feel like that you're in some sort of like software, something computer related, right?
Oh, man.
No?
Oh, man. Should I ask this by that? Huh, that's going to be a nice little trivia thing. Like, I was an advertising executive. Yeah.
Sorry, Earl. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Come on, that was 12 years ago.
Yes.
And there's been hundreds of people since me.
Yeah, that might be a blind spot for me. I don't know if I have the contestants' occupations all down.
Yeah, that could be interesting for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Let me give you a few more questions. This is one from Ken Crowner, who asks, Earl, many people in the Survivor fandom consider you the most underrated winner ever, if not the best winner ever. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Wow. I mean, well, I appreciate the kind words. I wouldn't say, it's hard to say anybody's the best winner. I mean, I was the best winner on my season.
Mm-hmm.
That I was. Underrated, I think our whole, because of the theme of our season, a lot of people end up not liking it. And I think Jeff didn't like our season because of whatever personal thing was going on in his life. You know, whatever the reason, I think that made it more underrated. But I think some people are starting to appreciate it more when they go back and watch it. Like, oh, you know what? Fiji was actually kind of fun. Actually had some good characters on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it. You know, I did my best while I was there. And, you know, fortunately it worked out. You know, of course, there's a lot of luck involved with the strategy. But yeah, no, thank you. You know, and I'm glad that people consider me one of the good winners.
Earl, did it make you mad when they started having 10 person juries and that then people like Jeremy and Adam were able to come out and then get a 10-0 victory and eclipse your previously unmatched 9-0 victory?
No, I like to see the evolution of Survivor, and that's great. Unanimous is unanimous. I'm still the first, so I'll keep that shiny medal in the closet. I am the first unanimous winner, and it took a lot of work and effort, and again, a lot of luck. Like, I'm never one of those guys that says, like, hey, I'm the best winner ever, or like, every season is so different. Like, it's already been proven. You can go back on there again, and it's a totally different animal. No, it doesn't matter what happened the season before. You think you're like, oh, I'm going to go back and fix my mistakes. And like, nope, you're going to make different mistakes now. So, yeah, I'm just happy to just be a part of all of this. It's so amazing.
Earl, let me ask you this question from Dan Sinensky, sure, who says that it took 17 seasons for another African-American player to win with you, with Jeremy winning and then Wendell a few seasons after him. There's only been four other people of color to win. What unique challenges do you think that you face, and what advice do you have for future players on how to deal with coming into the game?
Ooh, tough question. What's the best way to answer that? I mean, there's going to be, it depends on the group you're with. You know, I feel like everybody has an equal chance on there to a point. Some people make alliances with people they're more familiar with, or they have a similar background or from the same area. Like, you can connect on different things. Like, if we're both from Oklahoma, we might find an alliance. If we're both Asian, we might form an alliance. So I think those are just natural things that happen on the show, and that's just a part of society. So I don't think there's any like real strategy you can have for that, but just, it's like everybody, just be friends with everybody. Just be open to work with people with different backgrounds that look different. It's because in the end, that $1 million doesn't care about what you look like. And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. How do you win the game? Mm-hmm. Do your best to win. And that's, you know, playing the game, playing the politics of the game, delegating properly. I mean, you understand all that, Rob.
I know.
So, yeah.
it's a very complicated dynamic that goes on in every single season. Felipe wants to know, did you realize how fun your friendship with Yao Man would be to the viewers while you were out there on the island? Or did it take until the episodes aired to see that?
Well, you learn a lot, obviously, once the episodes air, when you see it all mixed together, all the editing and all that. But it was fun even when it was happening live right there. With Yao Man, I think it was somebody I felt like people were kind of like pushing him aside as this old guy. But I recognized, like, hey, this guy's smart. You know, he's diligent. He's cool. He's trustworthy. And that was just part of, you know, my strategy. Is like, I didn't feel like you had to be, you know, make an alliance with all the alpha males or alpha women. You know, it was all about everybody's vote is equal. Everybody gets one vote. It doesn't matter if you're on the top or the bottom. And I thought it would just be a great companion and partner. And we had great conversations. That's why we still stay in touch now. You know, fun guy, very, very cool, very smart. And yeah, glad that, you know, I got that friendship out of being on the show.
Okay. This is a question from Justin Feinberg. What does Earl think of Adam Klein naming the Millennials versus a Gen X merged tribe, Vinaka, as a tribute to Earl, as that was Earl's first suggestion for the Survivor Fiji merged tribe name? Now, one, did you know this?
I did learn about that. I think I was reading something online, and then Adam and I actually talked about it, and I thought that was, you know, very, very kind and very humbling that he remembered that for one. But I know he was a super fan of the show. So, no, I was definitely honored that, you know, somebody would, you know, do that. You know, it brings up fond memories of, you know, being on the show and, you know, all the little things you have to do, like naming your tribe, naming certain areas, just to, you know, familiarize yourself with what you're doing every day. I mean, I think we named our cave. I think we started naming animals, giving them names. And so I thought it was pretty cool.
Okay.
Adam's a great guy.
Brent the Shower Man wants to know, is Earl still the king of Fiji?
Is that a trick question?
I don't know. It's not a trick question.
I would say Earl is still the king of Fiji.
Okay.
No, I am the original winner. So I will always, you know, cherish that as, you know, one of the original people. But, you know, everybody that wins now is a king or queen of Fiji. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, you're like the George Washington of
sure.
You're first.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Okay. Do you have any favorite stories or anecdotes of something that happened that didn't end up making the show, Earl?
Are people going to remember these things?
Well, no, because it didn't make the show. Only you need to remember it.
Oh gosh, there was so much that was not on our season. There was a lot of bad stuff that happened and good things. There was one moment. Let's see. Some people know this story about me going on a hunt for mangoes on this tree that was far, far away in the horizon. I said, that's the only way we're going to eat. I'm going to find my way to that tree. No one wanted to go with me to feed everybody for this. So I said, all right, I'm going to go on this trek and go get these mangoes. It took a long time to get there. And on the way back, it got dark. People don't realize, you know, living in the city, when it gets dark, you have street lights, you have, you know, all these kind of little lights everywhere, kind of light your way. But when you're on a deserted island like that, it was pitch black. Mm-hmm. Could not see my way back in any kind of way. So it was like me and two or three people from the camera crew, to the point to where they had to turn off the camera and it got serious because we didn't know where we were at on the island. So we were in pitch black in the jungle. There's spiders, there's bats, there's snakes, and we didn't know where to go. Mm-hmm. So they were going to radio in for the helicopter to go shine a light on us. But I was like, no way, guys, we cannot do that. You know, we got to band together and we got to figure this out. You know, we're men and we're going to figure it out.
Can't get rescued.
Yeah. And so none of this was filmed, but this actually really did happen. Mm-hmm. And we just had a machete and I was chopping my way through this ravine and the camera guy and we would just work together. And we finally saw a little glimmer of the campfire from far away. And we used that to get all the way back. And when we got back, people were worried. They didn't know if I died, they didn't know what happened. And I came back and I said, here's the three mangoes that I got for you guys. It could be 6 hours of being gone. Yeah, that's how long I was gone. Like 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they appreciated those mangoes.
Yeah. Yes. And see, even after all that, I was willing to share it all. Could have hated myself. So that was one story I thought was pretty interesting.
Earl, can we ask you a question about Melissa McNulty? I feel like that so many Survivors fans, that the hardcore fans want to know about Melissa McNulty. Did you ever get to meet Melissa McNulty, who would have been the 20th player in Survivor Fiji?
I didn't get to meet her, but I saw her, you know, when it was all even and we were at the silent stage where we were all in these little tents and you could, you know, size up different people we would eat together. And I remember seeing her, you know, because I was just counting different people, but I didn't know. I think Jeff told us on the first challenge first challenge he told us that she was not going to be a part of the show. And we didn't know why. We didn't know anything. I don't think I learned until later that it was due to panic attacks or something like that. But it would have been great to have, you know, an even 20, but it all worked out.
Yeah.
No, it was still fine. You know, I don't know anything about her. I didn't even know people even still talk about her.
People talk about her because they want to know. They want to know what the deal was. I'm going to tell T-Bird to track her down.
Yeah.
She's like a bounty hunter.
You know, it would have been cool to have, you know, more people on the show, but... You know, that was just one person, and we never got a chance to talk to her at all.
Mm.
Like, literally at all. We didn't start talking, as you know, until we hit that beach and the game starts. That's when we finally get to say, hey, how you doing? My name is this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Earl, thank you for making some time to talk with us today. I'm looking at your bio now. I didn't know that you were such an accomplished musician also.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things a lot of people don't know. So yeah, I grew up playing several instruments, actually, which is tied into me having Perthes disease as a child because I wasn't allowed to play a lot of sports. I got really into writing and music and things like that, and so I was able to learn various instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And actually ended up doing doing a few scores on TV and a few commercials. I've done a few things. I've been in a band in Seattle during the grunge era.
Yeah, what was the name of the band?
It was Mark, what was his name? Mark B and something. Gosh. Well, yeah, it was a guy that was a lead guitarist. And I was this kid from Kansas, basically, you know, going to school at the University of Washington. And we were performing all around Seattle. We were kind of a mix of rock and kind of this Jimi Hendrix style of music. Okay. Fun times.
All right.
We can talk about that another day over a beer.
Okay.
I got crazy stories from that.
All right. Looking forward to it. Earl, thank you for joining us. Give that link one more time for anybody that wants to check
sure.
out what's going on with the Perthes Kids Foundation.
Yes. You can look us up at PertheseKids.org where you can learn about us, or you can just find me on Facebook or find us, Perthes Kids Foundation on Facebook. Look up fundraisers. And you'll see my current fundraiser right now, which is for my birthday. We are very close to reaching our goal, which is 4,000 something, which pays for just half of me taking all of these kids to Disneyland. So we need to rent a bus. We need to rent all these wheelchairs. So any help would be much, much appreciated.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Rob, for giving me the time and giving me the platform to talk about, you know, my social causes and talk about Survivor and Fiji. Anytime, and I apologize for taking so many years.
It was worth it. And really, God bless you, Earl, for taking all these kids to Disneyland, because I take my two kids to Disneyland and they're my kids, and I'm regretting it the whole time. So really,
well, this is 60 kids I'm taking.
Yeah.
To Disneyland.
So great job by you. Happy happy birthday, and hope to see you around sometime, Earl.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Earl, thank you so much.
Okay. Take care, Rob.
All right. Cool. All right. Don't be a stranger. Okay.
I will not.
Okay. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Some bonus coverage here with Earl Cole. Again, thanks again to T-Bird for tracking Earl down. And when we have a little more time with some of these people that T-Bird tracks, T-Bird will be on with me. But we had a short window here with Earl, so I just took this one myself. But T-Bird will be joining me for our future Tuesday with T-Bird interviews that we are working on from my bucket list that T-Bird is working on. Of course, if you want to hear from T-Bird, check out my podcast, my recap of this week's Survivor. I'm going to get ready for our feedback show with Eric Stein as well. So be on the lookout for that this weekend. Plus, This Week in Survivor with the great Kurt Clark, and then The Wiggle Room coming up. Will Mark B and the Earls end up having a submission to this week's Wand Off? Find out on Monday night when we get this week's edition of The Wiggle Room out. And don't miss the Snow It Alls, as Stephen Fishback and I are going to be live after the Game of Thrones premiere to talk about everything that happens live on the Snow It Alls this weekend on Post Show Recap. So thank you guys so much for checking this out, and of course thanks as well to the patrons of Rob's podcast who make all of this bonus podcasting possible as well. Find out more about everything we're doing at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.